We are starting this morning a lesson series getting us through the Christmas season called God with Us. God with Us. And as we think about Christmas, really the bottom line is, and I love Christmas time, and you can see I've already got plans for making this even bigger next year. I'm crazy about Christmas. It's ridiculous. I have an addiction for Christmas trees and beautiful sanctuaries, and I think I want the best Christmas sanctuary in the city. I want it to be the most beautiful place. So that when people come in, they just say, oh, this church takes it seriously. They love Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. My best memories are Thanksgiving. I love that. My memories of Thanksgiving, I really love. But I've got some tremendous Christmas. We always would open one gift Christmas Eve, which is the way it should be done. Kelly and I disagree here, but the way it should be done is one, only one Christmas gift on Christmas Eve, not two. Certainly not all of them, which is an egregious thing to do, but that's what they used to do. It's sad. It is sad. They used to open all their gifts on Christmas Eve. It makes me cry. They didn't get the experience of waking up Christmas morning and having all these beautiful, the anticipation. You know what I'm talking about when you're a kid. I still look forward to it. Of course, now I look forward to it because the kids are so excited. Oh, I love Christmas time. I love it. And everybody knows I love Star Wars, and that started Christmas time. My grandmother had flown from Puerto Rico the first year that we lived in the United States, and she had flown from Puerto Rico to spend Christmas with us in the United States, and this was the thing at the time was Star Wars, and we got Star Wars gifts. I still have those toys, and I remember that. I remember those memories of Christmas. I love Christmas time. As believers, we're enriched even more at Christmas. I love Christmas as it is. Santa Claus, I love that. I love that Christmas. But as believers, we're enriched by the reality of what Christmas is and what it means to us. Because the thing about gifts is not about the gifts. It's about the gift. It's about the gift. It's about the gift. It's about this mystery that we're going to talk about. This mystery that's a head scratcher, but it's the mystery that we find in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 23. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Matthew opens up his gospel with a genealogy of how he was born in terms of his lineage, in terms of the lineage that he had in Mary, and so an earthly lineage, and such and such begat such and such. You know what I mean by a lineage? Such and such begat such and such. That's how Matthew begins with this lineage. Verse 23 says, behold, the virgin shall be with child. I love that. This is free. This is free. But I love how God's word puts this, with child, not pregnant. Well, certainly we can be pregnant, but cows are pregnant and dogs can be pregnant. We are, and God's very clear, Mary was with child. With child. And shall bear a son. Okay, lineage, human lineage. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. This is it. This is it. This is the sermon series, God with Us. God with us. What in the world? This is so important. This is not human. This is not human lineage that we're ultimately concerned with. We're ultimately concerned with this. Verse 23. Verse 23 gets us to the point. Verse 23 gets us to the crux of the matter. It's not about the human lineage. It's about this. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we're concerned with. That's why Christmas is important. That's the gift. It's the gift of the reality that 2,000 years ago, God became man. This is the great mystery. That God took on flesh. That's the mystery. That's a great reality. That's the great gift. God with us. The word Emmanuel, Emmanu in Hebrew means with us, and El is a name for God. So, with us, God. That's how you translate Emmanuel. Emmanu, with us. El, God. What we have in Jesus is a with us God. That should make you excited today. That should make everybody in this room happy for Christmas. That we're celebrating. We're not celebrating the gifts under the tree. That's good. That's good. I love gifts. I love getting gifts. I love getting gifts. I'm likely to get a Lego toy. I get a toy every year. Because I'm still a kid. And I'm going to get a Lego toy on Christmas. That's just a tradition. I'm going to get toys. I know that makes me eccentric. And guess what? I look forward to opening up that toy. I love gifts. But again, the reality is that the gift that we're celebrating that should make us happy, and the reason why this is an important time of year, is that we get to celebrate a reality that God is with us. I invite you to turn to the book of John. John's gospel is a little different. John's gospel being evangelistic in goal. In other words, the goal of John is to talk about how someone can believe in Jesus. Okay, that's the goal. That's John's stated goal for his gospel. And with that stated goal in mind, John wastes no time to jump right in to the reality of defining who God is and who Jesus is. He doesn't waste any time. He jumps right in. Unlike Matthew that deals with the genealogy, the man genealogy, Matthew's stated goal is a little bit different. He wants to talk about Jesus as the Messiah. Here, John is an evangelistic goal, and he doesn't waste any time in making it very clear who Jesus is as God. And so today, we're going to flesh out, and we're going to be fleshing this out over the next few weeks. What does it mean, this term, God with us? What does that mean? And I want to dive in, and I want to look today at John chapter 1. And so I'm going to read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14. And the word became flesh. This is good. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hey, does that sound a little bit like God with us? The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, this morning, I want to work through this passage of Scripture a little bit and note some things that seem to be fundamental and self-evident. And this is it. Again, so I'm going to make some observations. I have no, Bruce will have a difficult time coming up with clearly defined observations today to review on Wednesday. So you have your hands full, I promise you, because I have just scribbles of observations. In the beginning, was the Word. I love this. The way this begins: the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I find the word is the word logos. Logos, which tells me something about, in the beginning was the Word, and you can't have a relationship without language, and so God is trying to speak to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. You can't have that without language. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here's an observation. This is a long one, but I'm going to read just what I wrote. You don't have to write it exactly like this. The absolute original reality before the world, from which everything else comes, is a living person. The absolute reality, the thing that has been forever, before the world began, the thing that is foundational and fundamental to everything else, the absolute reality of this universe, the thing that is under everything, the absolute reality of the world, is a living person. Is the Word. And we know that the Word is Jesus. Listen. The absolute reality of this universe, the thing that underlines everything, the thing that has been forever, before matter existed, before matter came into existence, the thing that has been is an eternal living person. Are you following that? Get your head around that. I want everybody to get your head around what we're dealing with. What we're dealing with is fundamental to what we know is reality, fundamental to the world that we live in, fundamental to everything outside these windows, is a living person in the person of Jesus. That's foundational. It's foundational. I find it interesting that this living, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen, this was before everything. The world has it a little bit flip side backwards. And notice it says, and the Word was God. God with us. Jesus is God. Hopefully this is not a newsflash in this room. Hopefully this is not a breaking news. Listen, breaking news. Jesus is God. Is that breaking news? The world thinks this. How many have met people like this? They say, well, listen, I I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I think that he was a good man. How many have heard, had conversations like this? I believe he was a good man. He probably died on the cross. What an amazing, they might say, what an amazing show of love and an example of love to everybody. Of course, I believe in Jesus. It's just all the miracles. It's just sort of, it's the walking on water. It's all that stuff. I'm not sure I believe all that. But I believe in Jesus, yes. But the resurrection, the walking on water, the healing, all the miracles. I'm not sure that I'm buying that. How many have heard that? By the way, it wouldn't be surprising if everybody in this room has not heard that in some way from somebody, because the world is happy to agree that there is something about Jesus. He's a historic figure. That he died on the cross. The world has to concede that. It's attested history. So and he obviously did something important, and he obviously died on the cross. And so the world's going to give us, he was a good example, and right that people should follow him. But the miracles, I guess the miracles are a problem. I'm not sure I believe in all the miracles, but I can accept Jesus, but the miracles thing, I'm not sure about that. Now, how many have heard some variation of that from people? You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. If you don't accept verse 1 of chapter 1 here, that Jesus is God, once you get past that hurdle, once you accept that Jesus is God, then the miracles aren't stumbling blocks, they're stepping stones. The beginning point of Christianity and our faith, the foundational beginning of what we believe is right here. It's right here. Because if Jesus is not God, we don't have anything else. We don't have anything else. If you can just accept lost person, if you can accept that Jesus is God, then the miracles are no problem. Walking on water, raised from the dead, healing this person, no problem whatsoever. The challenge is right here. Do you believe that Jesus is God? And once you can get past that stepping stone, the rest is easy treading. Now, of course, it's foolishness for the world to put their faith in a Jesus that they don't believe is God. Why would you do that? Why would you believe and trust? It would be tremendous foolishness for people to believe and trust a God that they, a Jesus who they don't think is God. Foolishness to trust in a Jesus who they think is just a mortal man. That obviously doesn't make sense. So no one can be blamed for not putting their trust in Jesus. If they think Jesus is not God, then it stands to reason. You should not put your faith in a Jesus who's just all human, no God. You should not do that. But if Jesus is God, now we got a game changer. Now we got a game changer. Verse 1 is a game changer. If Jesus is God, no problem believing the signs. We're going to do a sermon series in 2019. We're going to look through the signs in the book of John. The book of John gives 7 signs, sign wonders, that aren't found anywhere else in the Bible. One of them is the feeding of the 5,000 is found in other gospels. But besides that, there are 6 unique miracles, John calls them signs, that only John has in his gospel. And he uses them in order to show, that to prove this premise that Jesus is God. This is important. When we talk about God with us, it's important to define what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about Jesus as little baby Jesus. Yeah, he's baby Jesus. He's baby Jesus. Okay, he's baby Jesus. He's also God. But what we're talking about here is God with us. Everybody clear? Everybody clear? Is it making sense? All right. So foundational to the universe. Okay. All right. We got it. All right. Verse 2. So another quick observation. I've these are just observations. These are some of them just observations I just want you to know. Gee whiz observations. And the Word was with God. With God, there's personality. Jesus is a personality. In other words, he's distinct from God. He's with God. So he's distinct from God. But he's also, and the Word was God. So he's a distinct personality, but he's also God. And by the way, this is not a surprise to us that believe in a Trinity of three persons in one Godhead. In the beginning was the Word. He's God. He was with God, and he was God. And he was in the beginning, just in case you missed it on verse 1, he was in the beginning with God. Okay, there's going to be a quiz. Where was the Word in the beginning? With God. Let's do it all together. A quiz. In the beginning, Jesus was with God. With God. So he was with God and he was God. All things came into being through him. Now, what kind of God are we dealing with? We're talking about a creator kind of God. That's the kind of God we're dealing with. We're not talking about, you know, your little God that you can carve out with wood and put on your mantle and worship here or there. That definitely is beneath the understanding of God that we have here in John. This is Creator God. And all things came into being through him. I like that he says, notice this. I love the language here because it's very specific. It's very specific. It's another little observation. The Word here is through him. I like that it doesn't say all things came into being by him, because then what that might imply is that there was matter that Jesus worked with to create and form things. So Jesus, by him, he created things. No. Through him is a different thing. Through him means he created it. It was out of him that everything came. That following that distinction between all things were made by him. No, not all things were made by him. All things were made through him. Again, so we're trying to paint a picture of a big God with words. It's not that God created things with pre-existing stuff. God created things through him out of nothing. Are you following this? So why are you spending so much time on this? Because it's important. If we're going to really appreciate Christmas the way it should be appreciated, we need to get our heads around the fact that this is God with us that we're celebrating. Everybody following me? All things were made through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. If I don't have a, I meant to do this and I totally forgot, but this will work. This ball, this ornament. I was going to get one of the kickballs that everybody plays with. I kept thinking this morning, I got to get a kickball, and I forgot. But let's say that you're walking through the woods. You're walking through the woods, the back here, or you've got woods in your in your house, or you just decide to walk through the woods. I don't care how you get there. You're in the woods. Pretend you're in the woods. All right. Pretend you're in the woods and you stumble upon that ornament, that ball. And you look at it and it's interesting. There's a ball there. There's an ornament looking ball. And you pick it up and you analyze it, and it's shiny and silver. And you can observe all these things about this ball. And you found it in the middle of the ground, in the woods, in the woods. How many in this room would believe that that ball was always there? How many in this room, raise your hand if you might think that, you might consider that that ball grew there on its own? Anybody willing to say that you believe that? So let me get this right. Nobody in this room believes that if you were walking through the woods and you came upon this ball, that you would think that anybody would ever consider that this ball just happened to be there on its own without having been placed there, that it's been there forever or it grew there. Nobody would be willing to say that. Nobody would consider that. How many in this room could say? I mean, just be honest about it. It's okay. There will be no shame if this is what you believe. Is there anybody that would say, yes, I think that there's a world in which I would think that that came, would just happen to be there. It just has been there forever. And anybody willing to say that? Do you know why you'd be unwilling to say it? Because it's foolish. Because it would be the height of foolishness for you to believe that this ball just happened to be in the woods without somebody having put it there. I will attest to you that this ball is infinitely less complex than this planet is. And yet there are perfectly willing people all over this city that are willing to believe that this ball, this sphere that we live on, complicated, complex, and glorious, that it just got here. Do you know what that is? Foolishness. That is foolishness. That is the height of foolishness. But none of them would believe that this just happened there. And this is nothing. This is so nothing. This compared to the world is very little complexity to this. Compared to the universe, compared to this world that we forget about the universe, just this planet. The complexity found in this planet is infinitely more complex than this ball, and yet people are willing to accept that this planet just got here. And you know what's even worse is that when the Bible says that the wisdom of God is foolishness to man, this is an example. Because they think we are stupid. They think we are stupid for believing that God created this. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. You know, when you look outside, you look at all that is, all that God created, and we know that I got Kelly hates glitter. We know that God did it, and not God. Let's be specific. God, in the person of Jesus, created everything from nothing, no less. Jesus That is the God that we're talking about, a creator God that created everything. And in fact, I want to say this because it says, in him was life, verse 4, in him was life, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Listen, you know what the world says? I hate to compare, but God's word, when you start to think about God's word as opposed to what the world thinks, you notice something very quickly once you start paying attention. The world is in rebellion against God. And therefore, the things that the world believe are in direct contradiction to what the world says. So here's what the world says. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, everybody. This is important. Here's what the science teachers say. Here's what the curriculum say. That matter came first, and then life. That life came from matter. That the first thing that happened was matter and energy. That came first. And then that life came out of that. Wrong. So here, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that life was first. Life is first. An infinite being was first. That's first. The world is in contradiction, not because of a scientific view. The world is in contradiction because it's in rebellion against God. This is not science that the world is peddling. They call it science. The world is peddling rebellion against God. Can you just sit on that for a minute? When we're taught that matter came first and then life came out of that. Hold on. Just a second. Let's hold on for a minute. No. Life came first. Life was first. Life's been infinitely there first. And Jesus' life, and out of Jesus' life came matter. I got into, I'm so tired. This is now I'm just talking. Now, this is, don't even, we're not even talking about this Wednesday. I am so tired, and you should be tired. I'm more than tired. I'm getting to the stage of fed upness. Of the world trying to put us in a box like we're dumb, like we're stupid, and that our opinion doesn't matter. I guess I'm tired of that. I guess for me, we need to grow a spine and get some backbone and not get pushed around. Because here's the thing, Martin Luther famously said this. Somebody told him we should be defending the Bible. We should be defending the Bible. And Martin Luther famously said, not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther. 500 years ago, Martin Luther, let's not confuse this. Martin Luther said, defend the Bible. Defend the Bible. I wouldn't defend the Bible any more than I'd defend a lion. You don't have to defend lions. You let lions go and let them do their thing. Listen, we don't need to get argumentative about with the world, but we need to speak the truth. Let it go. Let it defend itself. Just speak it. Just say it. Here it is. This is what the Bible says, and leave the rest up to God. We don't have to get into debates about. I got into this. All comes up kind of fresh for me because yesterday I was responding to 2 days ago. A friend of mine on Facebook posted this article that was on Fox News, and the article said that scientifically they've proven now, genetically, looking at DNA, that there's a high probability that all of humanity came from one pair of people. Duh. Okay, that we needed science to prove that. It's intuitive. It's self-intuitive, so it's not news, and it's not science, it's not noteworthy, because it stands to reason that everybody here came from eventually, this is whether you believe in evolution or not, came from two people, right? That's self-intuitive. It is a kid can understand that eventually you get back to enough grandparents and they were the first ones. So anyway, I said in this Facebook thing, I said, yeah, of course that's self-intuitive. It's silly that they're, and what I was saying was that the media tries to make us look stupid, and yet they would post that like that's news. Okay, Christians have known that for a long time. Christians have known that we came from, we actually can name them. Adam and Eve. We've had the market on that for a long time. And now they come up like they're brilliant. Like they, oh look, we just scientifically discovered this. Okay, try to keep up. We've known this for 6,000 years. Are you following that? Well, hold on. Well, so that's not newsworthy. God's word predicted it, said it, told us. So anyway, there's this guy that started challenging me on Facebook, and then I got sort of angry and started righteously indignantly going back at him, and then finally I basically said, this is what I think. I'm not reading your response. And I didn't. I didn't read his response. But I just said, I'm not going to be a Christian that's going to shut up. I'm not shutting up anytime soon. We've got to be more vocal. We've got to be vocal about some important things. Here's what we got to be vocal about. There is a Jesus. He is God. He came to earth to die for us. We should be vocal about that. We should not back down. We should not get bullied. We should not be put in a corner like we're second-class citizens. We should be vocal, and we should just affirm what God's word says. Just affirm it. Just speak it. Just let it do its thing. Just let God's word do its thing. Just say, you know, you don't have to argue about it. Just this is what God's word says. In the beginning was the word. In him was life, and the life was the light of. Can you see how totally disjointed? You're going to have to make. The light, and finally verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. And by the way, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, verse 5. Jesus is the light? Okay. God has revealed himself to the world. There are no true, listen, newsflash, there are no true atheists on this planet because God has revealed himself. The light has revealed himself in the darkness. I don't believe in God. That's not true. You believe in God, you just reject him. No. I don't believe in God. I think it just happened. That's not true. God has revealed himself, and you see it. You might not understand it. The Bible says the darkness did not comprehend it. You can't put your head around it, but you see it. God has revealed himself in the darkness. A dark world we live in? Absolutely. Absolutely. Wicked? Yes. Wicked? Yes. Yes. And there's enough light, Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. God's handiwork is clear, it's seen. People, there are no true atheists. I'm not saying that. I believe God's word saying it. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's intuitive that God is who he says he is. And then the word, verse 14, became flesh. And he dwelt, we're going to deal with this in the next few weeks. And he dwelt, of all things that God would want to do, is to be with us. We're messed up. We are messed up. God has more important things to do, surely. Well, so God is loving. And he's found it in his nature to want to spend time with us. The Word became flesh. This morning, as we close, I just want to make it very clear that the claims of Christianity begin at this point, that God, in the person of Jesus, took on flesh. The claims of all of Christianity begins right here. That's what we're celebrating. That is Christmas. That is Christmas. That God became flesh. All the claims of Christianity begin right here. They're fundamental. So we'll say it and we're going to keep saying it and then we'll close. Why are we so excited about Christmas time? Well, here's what you should be excited about, and this is what I want to challenge you to do, is during Christmas, be passionate, not about Christmas trees, decorations, grandparents and gifts, grandchildren. Yeah. Don't forget about that. That's exciting and it's good. And it's God-given and it's good. But what we're excited about and what we should be talking about to a dark world is this principal claim that John is defending, and that is this, that the Word became flesh, God with us. God with us. Jesus in a manger. Yeah, Jesus in a manger. Yeah, that's important, but let's make sure that we understand what that means. That Jesus, God, became flesh. That's what it means. That's what it means. And that's something we should get excited about. That is something we should get excited about this Christmas. I'm going to fill a lot of these gaps in over the next few weeks. I trust. Invite your friends. Invite your neighbors. If they're lost, they don't have a proper understanding of Christmas, this is the series. Because it's foundational to what we believe, that God became flesh.